and she'll have an envelope and a piece of paper. There are some scattered around, so if you don't have one, we don't need them right now, okay? Sorry if I should have made that clear. We don't need them right now, but you should have them for later on. And we'll get there. We'll get to that in a little bit. But with every brand new year comes the customary process of New Year's resolutions. Have people been thinking about any? Just a little thinking any? Yeah, you got some, Celine? Yeah, that's good. The first day, so you can start fresh. Usually I've always been pretty lost the perseverance to go with those. So I feel like I've read Genesis a lot of times and then I sometimes miss out on the ones that come later on. But I wonder, can we collectively figure out the top 10 most common New Year's resolutions according to UK, Country Living UK? So if you think you can guess one, go on, Annie. Going to the gym. So do more exercise and get fitter. One. Dave? Oh. Get your third. Is that your? Oh, that'll be a good one for the year ahead. Was there a shout out from? Don't eat so much chocolate. Yes, eat healthier. There we go. Got to. Quit smoking. No, it wasn't on this list, but I did see that somewhere else. Any mic at the back? Yes, travel more. That was number 7 on this list. Elizabeth? Keep dieting. Yes, eat healthier. Exactly. Any more for any more? Can we guess? Got a mic again? A new hobby, yes. Have you been reading The Country Living UK? Is that what's been, is that you have it on subscription at the back? Go on, Annie. Oh, Learning to Drive isn't on here, unfortunately. Any more? Anyone that has any? Walk somewhere you've never walked before. I can't link that to travel or be more, exercise more. Go on, Kezia. More family time, yes, more family time. Well done. Spend more time with family. Incredible. Any more for any more? Want to guess? Or should I? Go on, Dave. Make new friends. No, apparently making new friends is not. it's not. Stick to your own friends. Timmy, did you have another one? Are you going to say the same? Mike again? Resolve a relationship. No, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Though that's not on there. Go on, Ruth. Go to bed earlier. No, that's not on the list. Celine. Oh, I have seen some of those, less screen time. But it's not on. Actually, I'm gonna link that one in terms of be more aware and take care of mental health. I'm going to link that into that one. So that's one. Shall I tell you the rest? Otherwise, we'll be here forever in a day, won't we? That's what you're all thinking. So lose weight, eat healthier. We've got those. Do more exercise. Spend more time with family. Sort out finances and cut spending. That was one of them. Be more environmentally friendly was another one. Maybe more of a modern one. And the last one was look for a new job, if that's, see if that applies to a few people. That's for you, David. So the verses that God's put on my heart for us to look at today are come from Isaiah 43. And we're going to get there in a moment, but I feel like these verses are going to speak to us as a church and individually, and it's important. But before we do, I think it's just really important to affirm that God has plans for each one of us, right? And he has a plan for us as his church. So we're going to get to Isaiah 43, but I just wanted to start it with Ephesians 2:10, okay? And it says this, in Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork. We have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You know, we read that we've been created in Christ Jesus. We read that there are works that have been prepared in advance for us to do. Do you know, there are moments, there are activities, there are opportunities, conversations, things that you can do that have been prepared in advance for 2023. Things that have been prepared in advance for 2023 for you to do. To our youngest in the room, to your, you know, our kids or our youth, look at me, hello, 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 look at me, yes, see you. Do you know there are things that God has prepared for you to do in 2023? There are things that God has prepared in advance for you to do. When you're schools, where you're in hanging out with your friends, whether you're going to Nando's, whatever young people do these days, playing games online, whatever, there are things that God has prepared in advance for you to do. And it may be as simple as sharing your lunch with someone. Do you know what I mean? That inspires kindness, inspires compassion, inspires generosity and sacrifice. There are things that God has done and prepared in advance for you to do. That's exciting. Adults, hey, look at me too. You can look. The same things applies to each of us. God has prepared things in advance for us to do in 2023. This is a year which is full of opportunities and the things that we can get involved in and do that God has prepared. And they are good works. And so I believe that God wants us to have eyes that are open to see the opportunities, ears that are listening for things, hearts that are prepared to be stirred. Just have to see the news. Dave was praying about this earlier in the time of worship. There's a lot going on in the world right now. We need hearts that are soft and hearts that are prepared to respond, and having hands and feet that are prepared to step in and actually do these actions, step up. Whatever these works are that God's prepared for us, there are things that he has laid on our feet and our hands to do. I just want to pray into that before we look at these next verses. Father, we thank you that this is a brand new year ahead. Lord, we thank you that you, firstly, that we are created in you. Lord, that we are saved, that we are seated alongside you. Lord, that our hope is secure in you. Lord, as we look to this whole brand new year filled with opportunity, Lord, we ask that you would help us. Help us to see. Help us to hear. Help us to have hearts to move. Help us to have hands and feet to get stuck in and get involved in whatever you've called us to, whatever you prepared for us in advance to do in this year ahead. Lord, please, will you come? Seal those things for us, Lord. Amen. Now we're going to look at two verses from Isaiah 43. We're going to look at verses 18 and 19. And they should come up on the screen behind me. I was just preparing in the week and God just kept putting this verse in my head, and I thought it was really important to share it with us this morning and just share two simple points from it. So the verses say, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Just to give you a bit of context of these verses, the Israelites, so the people of God, had been captured. They'd been by the Babylonians, and they were looking for how God was going to rescue them and bring them home to their Israel. And it's, in a way, it's bizarre that God's encouraging them to forget the former things, because you kind of think, well, you're meant to hold on to some of the former things, right? You're meant to hold on to what God's done in the past. But God's saying to them, they're so fixated on how they crossed the Red Sea, in terms of that's how God delivered them, that they aren't really thinking about how God's going to do something today. It's like, that is the only way God's going to save us. And God's saying, no, I want you to forget that. I want you to not dwell on that, because I'm going to do a new thing, and I'm going to bring you back in a new way, a different way. And if you are fixated on that, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss what I am doing. And I'm going to rescue you in an everlasting way, because this is the journey back that then leads to then the years, hundreds of years later, but the coming of Jesus, the everlasting rescue, right, for all of us. So that's the context. If they dwell in the past, they can miss what God is doing in the here and the now, okay? And I believe there are two encouragements that God wants to bring for us as we stand on this day one of this brand new year. So the first is, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Most churches, all families, have a family history. It's really great to spend some time with my dad's sister, my auntie, in Cornwall, and she's fascinated by a lot of this stuff in terms of our family history on that side. And it was really great just to hear all the research that she had done in understanding, you know, how am I here today, I suppose, is part of that question. And where have we come from? And what sort of, you know, instances have kind of happened in our past? Where have we been dotted around London and other parts of the country? And it's really interesting to hear some of the good stuff of family history, and interesting to hear some of the challenging stuff of family history. And the same is true in church life, as well as, I'm sure, in most of our own family histories. And as every, you know, church family will be affected by some of these things, whether that's because of relationships, whether that's because of different dynamics or leadership or ideas that haven't come through or hopes that didn't happen. You know, there can be fond memories and there can be hard memories. You know, there can be happiness, there can be pain and sadness, there can be approval or disappointment. And we can find ourselves sometimes comparing the past to where we are in the present. And each of those can sometimes come with a bit of a sense of, this is good or it's not so good. Do you know what I mean? Because that's what comparison can do. And the challenge is that with the past, it can really help shape the future. Okay, it can really help shape the direction of where we want to go, the lessons learned, and that can be really good. But it can also really be an anchor and a ball and chain around the ankle that can make it really heavy in terms of being able to move forward. That just feels like you're trying to, with one step, one leg still, perhaps feeling like it's stuck. And so I feel like God was just encouraging us to think about, what are those former things that we need to say, we need to let go of? Okay, what are the former things and things of the past that we need to let go of? And this can also affect us personally. I was in one of my early jobs, in my sort of early work, we have a group of six of us who used to go out for a meal or drinks, that we used to work together, we used to hang out, and we'd enjoy each other's company. We're friends. Let's just try and describe what a friend is, really, isn't it? We just hang out as friends. And when Emma and I were getting married, we were preparing for our wedding, you know, you're doing your invitations, and one of them out of the six I hadn't seen in a really long time, and the others I had seen more frequently. And so with a wedding, you've got a certain finite number of people, guests that you can invite to it. And I didn't invite one of the guys who I hadn't seen in probably a couple of years of this. And the issue was, it then had a big impact on the dynamic of the rest of the group, because the others were. And even though for me, I was like, well, you know, I guess I can sort of separate some of this stuff out. It kind of had an underlying effect on the dynamic of our friendship group, because effectively I'd invited five out of the six to a party and one I didn't invite, even though I might have said, well, I hadn't seen them for a long time. And every time we'd meet up, you know, I'd always have that pang of regret or that feeling of, oh, this is awkward. I feel this is uncomfortable. Even though it's very civil, we'd have fun, we'd have a laugh, but I'd have this, oh, I feel uncomfortable by this. And you know, I carry this for, since we got married in 2016, up until last year, because I can say last year now, 2022, last year. Up until last year, I'd carry this with me every time we'd meet up. Every time there's a message on the WhatsApp group, I'd be like, oh, where is this coming from? And so I resolved myself last year to say, I'm going to do something about this. I can't just let this carry on. It's not healthy. I can't change anything now. And in the summer, we were out for drinks with them, and I was at the bar with him, and I just sort of turned to him and I said, I just want to say I'm really sorry that I didn't invite you to our wedding. And we had a bit of a conversation about it, and he was really gracious, really understanding. And for me, it just brought a sense of closure to it. It brought a sense of a weight being lifted. And I fronted into it. I didn't know how it would go. I didn't know how it was going to work out, whether it kind of be first drink at the bar and all would kick off. I didn't know where that would lead. But I feel a lot better for it. And I was reflecting on this. I've been carrying this for 6 years. You know, 6 years from 2016 to 2022. And I just felt like God was saying to us, for us individually, are there things that are weighing on us that we need to let go of? We need to just to bring to him and say, you know, that's in the past. I need to let go of that. I need to not dwell on that anymore. I need to kind of bring a sense of God. I'm just going to put that at your feet and just draw an end to that so I can move forward with it not hanging over me. Perhaps like me, one way of going to have to sort of lead into that is going to be a sense of fronting into somebody to say, either asking for forgiveness maybe, or sharing how you felt because of something in the past. But let me encourage you that when we do these things, it can be a real lifting off for us that can enable us to move forward with it. So that's the first thing. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. The second thing is around hope for the future. You know, this Christmas time, we've been doing our series all about there is hope. We looked at there is hope for those that search. We looked at there is hope for everyone. The same hope is in Jesus is the same for everyone. There is hope that shines in the darkness. There is hope to help in our relationships. And this hope in Jesus is a future, permanent kingdom. Matt spoke really well about that on Christmas Day. There is a hope for a future, with future promises that are really incredible for us. And we read here in verse 19, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." It's incredible imagery that you get here. I am making a way in the wilderness. I wonder what wildernesses you might find yourself feeling. Have been lost in a forest or a supermarket or a shopping center, the modern day wildernesses. It can be scary, it can feel uncertain, it can kind of feel quite overwhelming, you know, lack of direction. What am I meant to do? Where am I meant to be heading? And God says, I am making a way in the wilderness. If you find yourself in a wilderness situation right now, God is making a way. I've been trying to memorize some different parts of the Bible and started off with Psalm 23. And I was really struck by, when I've been looking at it, about how much of Psalm 23 talks of God's leading and his directing over that, I suppose it would be a sheep, really, in there. The words are that about being led, about being guided, about being encouraged to lie down, guiding us through dark valleys. You know, the verses are, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me on his right path for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest of valleys, I will fear no evil. There's a lot there that talks of his guiding, his directing for us. And even as a church, we can sometimes find ourselves, oh God, where are you directing us? Where are you leading us? And thinking, what are you doing for us? But we trust that he is leading us. All these verses or songs that we've been singing earlier about God's faithfulness to us, about his holiness, we hold on to those. We hold on to those for what he is doing in our lives. And Jesus declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, and all that we might perceive and all our sort of feeling of the wilderness, Jesus is cutting through it. Like a jungle, you know, a wilderness, a jungle that's got vines in it, that's going to try and ensnare you, the sort of the heavy mud, the wild animals that might be lurking around that want to try and grab you. This is imagery of this is what sin is can be like. And Jesus is the man with the machete cutting through this until the edge of the forest, the jungle, is reached and it's busted through, and there are streams of radiant light that pour in, lighting up the path, leading us into heavenly, radiating green pastures. That's what Jesus does. He makes a way through the wilderness that we can be reconnected to the Father. And he says there's streams in the wasteland. This image of a real dusty, desolate, empty, barren place. There's nothing's going to grow. Nothing's going to take root. There's no future there. And God says, I'm making streams. Streams in the wasteland. It's encouragement of flowing water. Not just one stream, but streams, plural, flowing water. If you, there's a film called The Kingdom of Heaven, and in the film, the baron, this knight, takes over this land, and it's all dusty and parched, and he goes about saying, we need water, and he gets the men and the villagers to dig trenches to kind of get the water to flow. And it transforms this landscape from a barren wasteland into a luscious, green, thriving place where there is growth. There is life bringing water can shape this future environment. Do you know, if you find yourself feeling that in your situations where it feels barren, it feels like a wasteland, God says, I am making streams in the wasteland. I can make streams in the wasteland. I can turn wastelands to water gardens. That's what we believe. And so now we get to what you've all been waiting for, all been wondering over. We're just going to take some time. There's no rush. The plan is going to be to take part in a bit of this activity. There's going to be some music that's going to be playing in the background. We're then going to end with a song together. But just as we start off this year, I thought it'd be really helpful for us. One, this Jenga block, which you should have, represents something that you're wanting to say, I'm going to let go of this. I'm going to let go of this. And in our time of worship at the end, we're just going to have a time during that worship where you can just come forward and you can just put this Jenga piece on the table and be like, I'm just going to, you know, actively think of this, hold on to it. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to drop it at the cross, as it were, and give it to God and say, God, I don't want to dwell on these things anymore. I want to hold on to this anymore. I want to be set free from this burden. And that could be whether we're at school situations or work or home, whatever it might be, whatever holds on, you want to just feel that you want to just release. That's what this is for. And then this piece of paper and envelope, we did this with our youth at the beginning of the year, where we just wrote down what we're asking God for in the year ahead. You know, what are our hopes? What are the things that we're asking God to, you know, deliver into for us? And then we sealed them all up, put our names on envelopes, and then we gave them out just before the Christmas break so people had a chance to read over what they were. And so the same thing I want to just feel like God wanted us to encourage us to do today. Let's write a letter to God's word. Say, God, you know, in terms of this idea of a wilderness or a wasteland, what are those things that you're saying, God, I would really like your help, or I need you to come through in this wilderness situation, or I need you to come through in this wasteland situation. I need a path made, or I need streams to be poured in that would transform this. Okay. And then what we're going to do is we're going to bring those up. It's all optional, by the way. It's good just to dwell on it if you don't want to fill them up. But I would encourage you to do it because it's really helpful, I would say. And then we're going to seal them up, put your name on the front of the envelope, really important. And then we're just going to place them here. And at the end of the song, or the response song right at the end, we're just going to pray over both of these things, that God will help us to leave what we're asking to leave in the past, and that God would bless and have his hand over the things that we're saying, God, will you make a way? Or Lord, will you make streams come in this place? And then you can either take it away with you, if you like, or we'll hold on to them, and we'll give them back at the end of 2023. So, you know, we'll hand them back, and you can say, actually, you can look back and go, actually, well, what did we ask for right at the beginning of the year? And we can see God's faithfulness towards the end, right? Are we up for this? Good. So Kai's going to play some music. Just take time to be reflective. There's no rush.